Michaelyn, this is my blogging hero. I have followed her roughly 700 years, give or take. She is a decorating expert, minimalist talker, so much more. We're going to get into all of the good stuff. But first of all, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Katie, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes. Okay. You have a new book about house rules, but you know, obviously there's so much for our people, our friends in our 20s. I know I'm going to get a lot of this too, just our spaces and how to love them or not love them. But yeah, I wish maybe give us a little like backstory. How'd you get to be doing what you're doing today?
Well, sure. I my husband and I have been married almost 30 years and we have lived in 15 houses. So I have
had
a ton of practice, moving around, setting up a house, or maybe sometimes not setting it up and then regretting it because we moved again and our art was stacked behind the sofa and I had paint swatches taped to the wall. But I am a self-declared imperfectionist. I am what I call a cozy minimalist. I want to get the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. I live with my husband and really three of my kids still basically live at home. They're all in their 20s. So our youngest is graduating from college in a few weeks. And so he still has a room upstairs and comes home in the summer. He just got a new job and will be moving away. But my two oldest moved back home when we moved about an hour away from our old house because they wanted to start a business together. And so they live at home again, which has been so fun for me as a mom of boys. I kind of have my kids under one roof and it's the best.
Oh, I love that. So kind of trial by fire, you with all of these houses, you were like, okay, I mean, they're going to make this beautiful or not. Or look, I'm just going to dive in. Yeah. I know I've heard psychology. I've heard, you know, blogs and obviously yours too, but how our space affects our mental health and our productivity and all of that kind of stuff. I guess I feel like I can make arguments. Oh, whatever. Like who cares if there's laundry on the floor, but there's something to that. So I guess just kind of talk to me about why our space matters.
It's so true. I think for the first 10 years of being online, I felt like I had to defend it because people would say things like, oh, you must be so, you know, ill content. And these days I find myself hardly ever having to defend it because just like what you said, like we don't need someone in a white lab coat to convince us that when our house is chaotic, that it translates into our life feeling chaotic. One of my favorite quotes is by James Clear, and he says that environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. And man, I just take that and run with it. When you think about our home, home is the environment that we spend the most meaningful parts of our life in. And if we don't feel good about our home, if we don't feel confident in our home, if we keep waiting on our next houses, I did that for so long. It's one of my biggest regrets, not because it, you know, it's not like it was life altering, but I could have enjoyed, I could have taken a risk. Home is the safest place in the world to take a risk. You know, if you are thinking about applying for a job across the country or little or small risks, I think risk taking practice starts at home. And if we can't pick a risky color paint for our walls, I think we're much less likely to step out and maybe apply for that job or maybe take a year long vacation in Europe or whatever it is.
Oh, you're like, oh, that's good. You know, painting your wall is not a life or death decision, but it is a practice, right? It is kind of like a bold move that might bleed into other areas of life. I have not heard that. And I wrote it down. That's good stuff. Also talk about where you are. So you kind of said regretting, you know, waiting for the next home. And I think that's so true in your 20s. Like, oh, well, when I move here and when I move out and when I get my own place or when I get married, blah, blah, blah. But instead, even in your dorm room or even in this transition, yeah, talk to me about that. Even on a budget, well, that might be a whole separate conversation, but like just loving where you are.
No, I think the whole issue is that we find ourselves putting off and waiting for better circumstances. Those better circumstances might be when we have more money. It might be when we move, you know, back to where the town where we were raised. It might be when we get the dream job. It might be when we buy a house and stop renting, or when we get married, or whatever it is, when we have more time, when we can hire the designer. There's a thousand of them. And I think when you find yourself in a position where you are waiting to do to your current house until you can get to your next house, or until your circumstances get better, that's going to be the story of your life until you decide that, you know what? The truth is, there's no such thing as perfect circumstances. The people that make progress are people that decide to make a change anyway, even in the midst of our imperfect circumstances. And I think there's no better place to start than your home.
Yes. And you said that before. I think that's such a great point too, that there's no better place to start than your home. Yeah, we do spend a lot of time there. And if we aren't willing to take a dare here, or, I don't know, there's just so many parallels, I'm sure, about doing that in your home. I kind of alluded to this, but let's go ahead and talk about it on a budget, because a lot of our listeners think you have to have a designer and think you have to have the Pinterest worthy, but obviously, you know, starting small. Yeah. Just how does that look like when you're not raking in the dough?
Well, there are all sorts of ways to make meaningful change in your home, in your rental, in your apartment, in your dorm room, in your bedroom, even. And I think that the first is recognizing what you do have. I think so much of design can feel like it's centered around what is lacking. Like, I don't have a sofa budget, or I'm renting, I'm not allowed to paint my walls. And it really makes us focus on what we can't do. But if we decide to change the narrative and think, instead of focusing on what I can't do, what can I do? What can I change? Maybe you don't have a budget. What do you have? Do you have access to the internet? Are you in a place where Facebook Marketplace is doing really well? Like, it is on fire right now. Facebook Marketplace is amazing. If you have a sofa you hate, you could probably sell it in a week and for that exact same amount of money, find a sofa that you love. Now, that doesn't take a lot of money, but that takes time. That takes maybe having a friend with a truck who's going to be able to help you. So everything costs something, but money is just one way to pay. There are so many other ways to pay. Maybe you barter and you trade with a friend who has different skills. Maybe you decide, I'm going to learn how to put up temporary wallpaper, and you watch the YouTube videos and, you know, you save up, or you ask for temporary wallpaper for your birthday, and you do a hallway, or you do the top of your bathroom, or whatever it is. You baby step your way. Maybe you realize that you just need to be inspired. Like, decorating doesn't start in the furniture store. And I think part of the enjoyment of making changes in our home is just putting ourselves in circumstances where we're motivated. And the best motivation comes from inspiration. And so instead of saying, oh, what am I going to change today? Maybe just say, where can I find inspiration today? Can I walk through the museum on a weekend when it's free? Can I go through the model home when I go back and visit my parents? Can I go, you know, when the open house in the big, nice, older neighborhood, when the houses are for sale, can I stop by there on a Saturday and walk through? There's so many ways to be inspired. I think even, I think as I've aged, I've learned how I like to be inspired. I know for me, walking through an antique mall or going to an estate sale, those types of things, like seeing how people group things together, seeing weird stuff is extremely inspiring for me. And so part of your job as someone who hopes to create beauty in your home for the long term, just putting yourself in situations where you get excited about creativity, where you're inspired by seeing two colors or different types of maybe furniture from different eras combined together. You know, real style is found in the combinations. And I think as we get more into maybe honing in on our style, we're a little more brave with combining those different eras and those different combinations and really settling in on, ooh, what is my exact style? When you're young, it's so fun to experiment with that. And I think just watching TV shows, even if you don't like the style, I think for, I don't know, at least when I was younger, I always felt like I had to only look at magazines or watch shows or look at books that reflected my own style. And now I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I want to look at shows and books and houses that aren't my style so that I can have interesting takeaways and create new things in my environment.
I've never thought about some of those things you mentioned. I think that's genius. My husband and I like to go to open houses when they're near us, just curiosity, but especially, you know, a lot of times real estate agents are paying big bucks to have it professionally staged. Those are people doing their best work. Why not take pointers? That's a great idea.
It's so true. And real estate, never feel bad about that, because even if you are not going to buy a house for 10 years, an agent loves for the house to look busy. It makes it look like it's going to get a lot of offers. And so they don't mind at all if you're just going to walk through and be nosy. That makes them very happy.
Yes, I have a real estate friend who says the same thing. She's like, please come eat my veggie tray with me. I love that. Okay, so many things I want to unpack. First, I have to talk about houseplants. I see your houseplant in your background. You can tell I'm a plant person. Yes, I love plants. I've become a plant nerd. And I think a lot of people are intimidated. They think, oh, the immediate thing is I have a black thumb. I can't keep a plant alive. Lies. Talk to me about how plants add to your space and how you too, listeners, can have some houseplants.
It's so true. I think we need to reframe the way we think about houseplants. The goal with a plant is not to keep it alive forever. My plant and your plant, at least mine, I can say, mine are all like the best they ever look is the day I get them from the plant nursery. And then they are on a slow march toward death. Some take a few months. Some, if I do a great job, take a few years. But I don't have any plants that I've had for 10 or 20 years. And that's not my goal. My goal is to enjoy them while I have them. And so I do a thing called plant math. You know, when you're working through your wardrobe, I don't know if you follow any style people, but they talk about the cost per wear. Like if you're getting a nice pair of boots and they say, well, if you wear them like 30 times in the winter and they were $300, that would be $10 per wear. And then if you keep them 3 or 4 years, you know, it goes down after that. I'd like to do the same thing with plants. If you think, you know what, I'm going to buy a $12 plant from Lowe's instead of getting, you know, three bunches of baby's breath from the grocery store. Well, if you buy those three bundles of flowers from the grocery store, in 10 days, they're gone. But if you buy a plant for $12, most likely, almost no matter how black your thumb is, your plant will still be alive after 10 days. And it might be alive for 2 weeks, but let's just say, or for 2 years, let's just say that you keep that plant alive for a couple of months. You know, you can begin to do the plant math and your cost per day of an enjoyment is really low. It's like 5 cents a day. And I feel like that is so worth it. When like I'm looking at you in that beautiful big plant, it has so much presence. Plants really do add life to a room. If you need proof of this, you know, grab your phone, open Instagram or open Pinterest to some rooms maybe that you've saved and just take a look at them and look at the greens. I guarantee that probably 85% of the photos that you save or that you love, they have probably large established houseplants, maybe even some indoor trees. Usually they're real, not pretend. Or they have maybe yard cuttings or flowers from the grocery store. But it is those greens that finish off a space. So if your room is just feeling dull and lifeless, I think the easiest thing is to experiment with a life plant. Think of it as a matchmaker. You're going to see if you and that plant's personality and how often you remember to water it and the environment in your house, if you guys get along. And I'll tell you, when I am styling maybe a fireplace or a dresser, like a surface vignette, coffee table, the first thing, you know, I always make sure I have my artwork. Let's say I'm doing a dresser against the wall. And then I want to make sure I have light. Do I need lighting here? So I'll put a lamp there. But the next thing I go to is a plant. And I think when we forget to add that, sometimes our room can feel like lifeless or dry or just off. And it's because maybe we're missing that greenery.
I'm writing this down like a furniture piece, art, light, and then a plant.
And then go for that green. Yep. And a lot of times if I want to see if I'm going to like a green. I summarize like all plants are greens. So, you know, if I move to a new house and I think, maybe I want a plant up there on my mantle, what I'll do is I'll go out to my yard and just, I did this when we lived in an apartment. I did this when we lived in a, you know, anywhere like, oh, next to the grocery store, where can I cut? I have been in the Panera drive-thru and reached my hand out and broken off branches. Like the tree was like touching my car, and just put some kind of greenery there. What it does, it's like, it's a proof of concept. Will I like a green here? How does this affect my house? And I always remind myself to like break off a tree branch probably two or three times longer than I think. Add some water to a glass, set that down in a jar, put it on your mantle, and enjoy.
These are great tips. And I love that you love houseplants. And I love that you kind of compared it to girl math with the plant math, like the...
Absolutely.
That made my day. Yes. And it's so inexpensive. This might be kind of next level if you feel like you don't have a black thumb, but I know my mom, like we like to get cuttings and clippings from other people. You can even make free plants. Don't want to intimidate. But yeah, like you said, there's so many ways to add beautiful greenery to your spaces. I also want to just kind of touch on minimalism. As you said, the cozy minimalist. There's so much to minimalism. I also follow some bloggers who talk about this. I know you've heard this quote that I often think about when I'm looking around my home, but have nothing that you know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. And that'll convict you sometimes when you're like, you know, looking through some stuff. But anyways, what does minimalism mean? How do we practice that? You know, this day and age when we just almost always have too much junk. Talk to me about that.
Well, to me, my definition of minimal is simply enough to meet a goal. We all get to define what the goal is in our home, in our season of life. Sometimes I need more stuff to meet my goal of, say, I'm doing a guest room and it's winter and I want three layers of blankets and some extra pillows and a lamp right next to the bed. And I want, you know, drapes on the windows so I can have lots of privacy. And I want a cozy rug on my wood floor so people's toes won't be cold. You know, there, I think cozy items become clutter when they don't have a purpose. But when our items have a purpose, when they serve to have beauty and function, which is the ideal thing, then it doesn't feel like clutter. It's when, you know, you're adding 1,000 pillows because they're in the right color scheme. And we've all seen that. I think it's like an insurance commercial on TV where you can't even sit on the sofa because there are so many pillows. And so when you're styling a surface or a table, you can ask yourself, like, am I still able to use this? Is it still functioning? Are the pieces that I'm adding, are they adding exactly what you said, the William Morris quote, both beauty and function? Can I use it, or am I going to have to stand guard over this beautiful pillow and tell people not to use it? Well, that defeats the whole purpose.
Right. Right. Yes. I love that. Yeah. I just think that minimalism is such a, I mean, I don't know, it's an important topic, and what it has to do with beauty and loving our spaces, because sometimes if there's just clutter, then it adds to organization. It just compounds. So yes, all the things. You said you've moved a lot. I'm sure that kind of helped with your idea of minimalism. My husband has, I know, right? My husband's good friends. They're like professional movers. They never had kids. And so I think they somehow do it for a tax write-off. They move on purpose every 2 years. Huh. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't know. But all I know is I've never seen more empty closets and more cleaner spaces than their home, right? Because of all that moving.
That's amazing. I will tell you, I think there's two types of people that move a lot. I think there's people just like your friends who are like, we're going to be moving in a few years. There ain't no way we're going to keep a bunch of junk. And then there's people like me who are cursed with like the creative gene where we believe that everything has possibility. And it's scary to get rid of something because we might need it in our next house and we know we're going to move again. And so probably everyone listening can put themselves in one of two camps, but I was the second. And so I would hold on to things. I definitely regret that because it was difficult. And I think I had some trust issues thinking that, oh, I got this item for a great deal, so I better save it. I think it finally dawned on me that if I was so good at finding items at a great deal, why couldn't I trust that when the time came, I could find them at a great deal again, which I've tested that theory and it pretty much always works. But I will say, as someone who you know, I call myself a cozy minimalist. I still want a beautiful home. I still want it to feel cozy. The thing that one of the main tools and kind of design tips that I rely on, or a house rule, if you will, is to nail that scale. I have found as a cozy minimalist who still wants a house that's like, ooh, wow, or oh, that looks so cool. You know, you want to feel that way in your own house. One of the things I rely on is when it comes to art, when it comes to buying the pillow for the sofa, whatever it is, when it, a vase, a plant, I always try to size up and scale up. I'll try to get the larger one because one large item has much more impact than even like 3, 4, 5, 6 tiny little items. So even that big, beautiful plant behind you, it is big, it is large, it is established, it takes up space, and it has a visual impact on your room, which is what decorating is visually. And so when you have that one thing, like I see on the table, and for those that can't see the image, you don't need anything else on the table because you have that one lamp matched with a container that works. But when we kind of are afraid to take that risk and we buy the little, you know, the $4 plant that's 3.5 inches from the grocery store, yeah, it's just not going to have the visual impact. I encourage you, if you are trying to add something to create style, to make an impact on your mantle or on your coffee table, go for one large thing, but make it bigger.
Mm. Oh, that's good. I like that. And I also love what you said, because I'm the second. I can relate to the, oh, I need to hold on to this, or I got this on a good deal, or whatever. And so you spoke to my soul about the, well, if I'm a, you know, was able to get something at a good deal, it's not like I'm, that skill was lost on me in a new city or a new house or whatever. So
yeah.
That's
good
stuff.
I'm preaching to myself with that. I still find myself doing that.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a lifelong thing, but okay. House rules. You alluded to that, like the big item that's also important, especially, you know, as it comes to bargaining, like, oh, let me just nickel and dime all this little, then you just get a bunch of dust collectors, which is, you should have just bought the one, you know, statement piece. So that's important. So that's what your book is kind of unpacking, all the house rules. Tell me more about like why you decided to write this and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I would love to. You know, I'm a girl that doesn't love rules, but I was reading a book by Andrew Peterson, and he, you know, he writes for creatives. He was talking about songwriting and how every song doesn't have to rhyme, but when you are writing a song, and if you're not going to rhyme, then you have to like earn the right to break the rules. It needs to be better because it doesn't rhyme. And I thought, oh, that's just like decorating. Like there are universal decorating truths that really apply to any home, any style, any budget. And I believe that those rules are meant to be broken, but we want to break them because we believe our space is going to look better, not because we don't know better. And so as a person who, I'm not one of the influencers who's like, here are all the links to my coffee table. I love people like that. I love following people like that, especially if I need a specific pillow or a throw. But I am a decorating teacher. I teach people how to make better decorating decisions. There's a great order to do that. And there are fun little, you know, when you're in school and you're learning how to spell, you learn I before E except after C. And that truth applies whether you're writing an Instagram post or a note to your grandmother. And it's the same with these house rules, you know, nail that scale or contrast is queen if you want to be seen. These rules, what happens is, you know, we move into a house or an apartment and we have all these little pieces and we like all of them. They're meaningful. They're beautiful. You know, we have a family photo. We have a plant. We have a clock. We have things that we've loved and we put them all together and we're like, why does this not look good together? Well, I can tell you why. There are logical reasons why. And the reason I wrote House Rules, it's kind of like a troubleshooting book. You know, if you get a dishwasher and then the light keeps blinking, you have to look at the back of the manual and it's like, well, it's one of these three things. Well, House Rules is the same way. Like, something's wrong with my living room and I don't know what. And that's the mark of a good decorator. A good decorator is not someone who goes and buys all brand new things and they look great together. A good decorator, or the skill of decorating that anyone can learn, no one was born knowing how to decorate. A good decorator says, this room feels off. Let me figure out why. And House Rules can help you figure out why, because it's 100 quick little logical crazy little memorable sentences with a photo and a little, you know, outline that tells you exactly what to check on, whether you're styling a surface or your bed or picking out a sofa you won't hate tomorrow. So it's kind of like having a little best friend, professor, decorator right in here, only on your coffee table.
This is so exciting. And you're making me think through all of these things because, I mean, our living room, there's things I'm like, why don't I like this space? And I just wrote down, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. I did not know this. This is genius.
Absolutely. It's one of the house rules. And I think
it makes sense.
What happens is we move into a white apartment with a white mantle and white walls. And then we have a white piece of art and a white candlestick. And we're like, well, why does that look weird? Well, I can tell you why. There's no contrast. Same if you have all dark walls. And so it's not that something is bad or wrong. A lot of times it is just shopping your house and moving a piece of art from one room to another, or trading the pillow from the bed to the sofa. And it can make such a difference.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And it is a beautiful book. And like you said, like coffee table and like sharing. And so I'm not surprised that it's so beautiful, but I love it. And I was actually so funny. I was looking at the cover when I got the picture of it, and I'm of course staring at the house plant, and it's such a statement, like beautiful. Anyway, I can't help myself.
Yep. Well, and just like how I said, when you look through Instagram photos or whatever, I did not do it on purpose, but when you page through this book, you're going to see greens in probably 90% of the photos, because that's just where they are in my house. So every photo in this book is taken in my own house. And, you know, it's not a style book. I don't expect you to like my style. I want to teach you how to like your style. This house rules book is such a great gift. If you know someone moving or getting married, it's got a little place in the front where you can write to and from and the special occasion. It's not a regular decorating book, which I love, and I try to collect every decorating book. I love them because they're so beautiful, and I love to have them out on my coffee table. But those are a lot of times filled with aspirational, beautiful photos. This is a teaching book. This is a book you're going to read one page, you're going to put it down, you're going to change a couple things in your house and say, oh my gosh, I get that. I need to go help my mom and help her do that same thing.
Oh my gosh, why did I not have this yet? Getting it tomorrow. And I love, this is so perfect too, because as you said, such a great gift. So many people in their 20s, that's perfect. You're moving, you're getting your first place for the first time, or you have a friend or whatever. So yes, yes. Okay. Well, Michaelyn, what a pleasure to get to see you sort of face to face, just, you know, as close as we get these days. And thank you for just sharing your gift. I'm just such a passionate person that we're all created to do something great. And it looks so different for different people, but making your space that you live in, that you sleep in, that you call home, that you invite people in, making it something you love, is not to be taken lightly. Like, it's not just for fluff. It's truly important. And you're helping people do that. So I'm so glad
that was for your skill. I couldn't have said that better myself.
I don't know where that came from, but I am so thankful for you. And thank you for being here. I'll make sure we link your social media, because people just need to follow you on social media, because it's just you're a fun follow. And of course the book as well.
Thank you so much. I love talking about home. And if you need to be encouraged in your home, no matter the age, the style of house, where you're living, you will always come away. My goal with every email, every social media is to leave people with a sense of encouragement, never a sense of I don't have what it takes or my circumstances need to change. I understand what that feels like. And there is so much hope and so much you can do within limited circumstances.
Yes. And you do that so well. I can attest. Thanks, Michaelyn.
Thank you, Katie.